The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Taxi show.
Just yesterday, I caught a wild bird with my bare hands, and then I set it free, because that's just who I am. When you love something, you set it free.
But first, you must catch it with your bare hands. That's the rule.
And now, my friend Eric Metaxas, who is a lot like that caught bird.
Fly, little Eric, fly. Be free and fly.
Fly to your microphone in the mountains. Yawk! Yawk!
Hey, folks, I apologize for my announcer. He's had a lot of surgeries. He's just so messed up on the meds that I've got to give him grace because that's who I am. In this hour, we're going to be having a lot of fun with Albin and Chris Himes talking, doing an Ask Metaxas, you know, show where you get to ask questions. People have written in all these questions, and we're going to have some kooky fun. But before we get to the kooky fun, I'm just going to have some normal fun by talking to my friend, Tom Tradup. Tom, welcome to the program.
Nice to be with you, the virtual Socrates in the city.
Yes, the virtual Socrates. Now, I didn't explain who you are. You're the vice president of news and talk programming for the Salem Radio Network, and my show is on the Salem Network. I'm talking on the Salem Radio Network right now. Now, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, Dennis Prager, many others on the Salem Radio Network. But you, my friend, Tom, you're not only the VP of News and Talk Programming for Salem. You have a particular connection with Food for the Poor, and that's why I wanted to have you on the program, because we're doing a fundraiser, as you know, for Food for the Poor. And you have just come back from the very place for which we're raising money, Guatemala. So you were just there.
Yes, and it was really inspiring. You know, it's always a pleasure to go with Food for the Poor. The guys are and ladies are just fantastic to work with. And, you know, I've never really seen an organization like that that really puts boots on the ground. They take media people like me. I was honored to go with them and some of our other Salem radio stations around the country. And I don't mean to sound like it's backbreaking work, but I mean, you put in a long day. You start before dawn, and you're loaded into tiny vehicles because you have to go up into the mountains for these remote areas where they reach people who literally have no source of running water unless Food for the Poor has built a water system for them, which is part of what your listeners' donations go to. And we visited so many people, Eric, who are in abject poverty. I mean, literally, they live in a home, if there is one. Some of them don't even have homes, but if they live in a home, it's a one-room structure with a stove in the middle of it, no real ventilation. So when they're cooking, the room fills up with, you know, smoke and ashes. And you can imagine if you're a child or a baby living in those conditions, how awful it would be. And they have very little food and virtually no water. And so that's why it's so important that your listeners donate to Food for the Poor if they go to MetaxasTalk.com. As you tell them, there's a banner that says Feed Starving Families, and an $80 donation will feed a child for a year and provide water for life. And how they do that is they give donated food from everywhere around the world, really. Taiwan provides rice, and other people provide, you know, various things. The generosity of other countries plays into this. And we just have to get it out to them. And that's some of what happens. But we met a woman named Yolanda, for example. She lives in a one-room house with 9 people. She's got a couple of kids, a couple of grandchildren. Her husband died. Wow. She works 2 or 3 jobs, including cleaning houses as well as taking care of her entire family. And the conditions would just make you cry to see this. And yet they are so full of hope and so full of optimism and so generous. And when I asked Yolanda through a translator, I said, hey, we're going to be on the Eric Metaxas show nationwide. You may not know Eric, but, you know, he's got a big radio audience. If we ask people to pray for you and donate to you, what would you like them to pray for? And she responded through the translator, I'd like them to pray that they would be able to donate money so that we can help my neighbors who are worse off than I am.
You know, you hear this kind of thing all the time. When you go to the poorest of the poor, for some reason, it's part of their culture to be thinking about others. It's obviously very humbling to us who have so much. I'm grateful that you went down there, Tom, because, you know, you're a friend of mine. I know you. And the idea that you saw this, that you talked to these people, because I wanted to bring you on so that my listeners can hear that this is real. I think sometimes I present it in such a way, maybe it sounds abstract, and it's not abstract. You're talking to somebody that you spoke with specifically and some details of that, and it makes it very real. The idea that people don't have drinking water. I mean, I was reading about that half of them are drinking water that's giving them diseases and stuff, and they have no choice. They're so poor. You know, it's so easy for us in the United States to make things happen. In a place like rural Guatemala, obviously, it's not. The idea that $80 of our money can be leveraged by Food for the Poor so dramatically that we can feed somebody for a year and give them drinking water for the rest of their lives by digging a well or drilling a well, it's astounding. We're asking people who can to give $320, and Albin and I have worked out this whole thing where anybody who gives is entered in a grand prize contest. Every week we're drawing a grand prize winner. Actually, when we come back from the break in our Ask Metaxas time, we'll probably be drawing the winner today. But I think people don't give to get, although we want to give them Metaxas Super and all kinds of different things that we do. But when you hear these stories, I'm just grateful that you really were there, because to have a friend, somebody that I know as well as I know you, walking into this kind of situation and reporting on it, because I do think it's hard for us to believe that in a place so close to us. I mean, how far are we from Guatemala?
We're probably a 2-hour flight from Miami. I mean, we fly from Miami to Guatemala because Food for the Poor is based there. So we start with them there, and then we fly to Guatemala. And then you're talking maybe 3-4 hours to get up into some of these remote villages from Guatemala City, where we get based there. And the children, when you walk in, the children in the village know it's Food for the Poor. They've been visited before. It's almost as if you feel you're Santa Claus or you know, some celebrity, when we're just average folks who are there to help them. But kids just want to be kids, Eric. You know that. They want to be hugged. They want to play. We bring along sometimes bubble wands and things like that where they can chase around and laugh and have fun. And they are unlike a lot of kids in our country, quite frankly. I've got 2. One's 24 and one's 21. So they're not exactly toddlers, but my kids are like anybody else. And they are unhappy if they don't get the right Nikes, or they're unhappy if they don't get to put Snapchat on their phone or something like that. And these are children who they literally don't know where their next meal is coming from, and yet they're happy and generous and loving. And
yeah, I mean, that's always the case. We
can
learn
show the love of Christ just by supporting Food for the Poor.
Well, I was going to say, it's just you hear it over and over that we can learn more from them than they're going to learn from us. But one thing I think we do have an obligation to do, it's why I wanted to have you on, is that we're blessed to be a blessing. God has blessed most of us in the United States and in the West tremendously compared with folks like the ones you've been describing. And I feel it's incumbent upon us to take our own blessings and to try to help these folks. So I just want to say to my listeners, this is real, and we definitely depend on you. Food for the Poor comes to us so that we can reach out to you. They don't have, you know, their own network. This is it. So we're asking you to go to my website, metaxastalk.com, or you can use our phone number. I'll give it to you right now, and you can dial right now. Anything you give, folks, I say this all the time, anything you give goes a long way in a place like Guatemala. The number is 844-863-HOPE. That's 844-863-HOPE. Again, 844-863-HOPE. My friend Tom Tradup, thank you for being on the program and sharing what we need to hear.
My pleasure, Eric. God bless you.
God bless you. Folks, please check it out. Just go to MetaxasTalk.com. It's all right there. We actually need your help. Please give what you can.
Keep on the silver cup. You never know.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back to The Bunker. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We are in The Bunker, but we're starting to have some fun in The Bunker. Albin, Chris, yes. James, we're going to have some fun, and we're going to joke, even though it's been established humor is now considered racist, but we're going to, you know, we're going to joke anyway. Joking is different from humor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's see. What can we talk about? Do we have any miracles that we want to talk about? It's not Monday.
Oh, right. Oh, I have another miracle. Remember, I had the flower miracle. I'd given my wife flowers and they were still preserved after like a month. Okay. Then I had the miracle of the balloon. Remember the
Mylar miracle.
The Mylar miracle. Well, I have another miracle. This is a teddy bear that I bought for my wife even before we were married. This is like 2006 or something. I found it in a grocery store, and I sent her off to get avocados or bananas or something, and I snuck this up, and I bought it with my own money, and I bought it for her. And so the battery is still working, and the animatronics are better than anything you'll find at Disney World. Watch this, okay? I bought this for my wife about something like 12 years or so ago now. Listen to this.
That's an antique.
Isn't that beautiful? Listen.
I'm overwhelmed. Most people, you know, listen to this on the radio, but if you're watching the video, you can see that I'm weeping openly.
Yeah,
that's so beautiful, Albin. Your love for your wife, I got to tell you, I'm sure Chris feels this way too. All it does is make us feel bad about how shallow we are toward our own spouses.
That's right.
True. I was just going to say, in terms of, you know, how people are doing out there, you know, with their marriages, everyone's in tight quarters in a way. And I think it's putting strains on people that have spouses and families.
No joke. Yeah. My wife and I are sleeping in the same bed. It's like, yeah.
That's brutal.
It's gotten that bad.
It's that bad. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is what we call, because I'm shaming other husbands, as you know. This is called entertainment. So I'm participating there.
By the way.
That's pretty good. I've got something, Albin. People are talking about how, you know, there's going to be a baby boom, you know, after the coronavirus in 9 months. Everybody's been quarantining. And then I heard someone on Twitter wrote, I'm totally stealing the joke, but in 13 years, that generation is going to be referred to as the quarantines. Quarantines.
That's actually very funny. I think I'm going to steal that from you, who stole it from someone else. Quarantines. Yeah. Well, you know, Albin, the other day, a lot of times I listen to this program. Now, we should say this. there's an app. If you have a phone, a smartphone, and you put in the search, you know, and when you go to the app store, you put in Metaxas, you get the app and you can listen to this program 24/7 anytime. You're free, right? So
yeah.
I typically listen to this program if I go for a run, because I just want to see, you know, I want to try to improve the program. Now, so far I've failed, but I keep trying. So
miserably.
The other day I was running, and it's so bizarre because I could be anywhere. I was up by Grant's tomb the other day, right? And I hear you, Albin, refer to what we're doing here as entertainment. And
yeah.
I'm still like agog at the time. I was pretty much speechless when you said that, because it's so funny and so stupid, which is my favorite kind of humor. But at that point, it's like the word entertainment, it's such a dumb word that I referred to. There's a scene in one of my favorite movies, Young Frankenstein, where Gene Wilder, they're playing charades, and who's the comedian, the bug-eyed comedian who plays Igor?
Was it Marty something?
Marty, not Marty yeah. Feldman.
No.
Marty. Yeah, I think it is Marty Feldman.
Marty Feldman. Marty Feldman says sedative, because he's basically saying give me the sedative to give to the monster who's
right.
aging, and he's being choked, so he goes into charades. It's like one of my favorite scenes from any movie, and he's trying to tell them through charades as he's being choked because he can't talk. Sedative, and Marty Feldman blurts out sedative. After when they do give the monster the sedative, and Gene Wilder's character, Dr. Frankenstein, can breathe again, he looks at Marty Feldman and he says, sedative. Like he's just enraged that he had said the word sedative. Like, how could you be that stupid? I feel sort of similarly about the word entertainment.
It kind of begs maybe Albin takes a turn at redoing That's Entertainment song, the song, to That's Entertainment. I think that would be good.
Well, is it time for Sadar's Radar?
If we better get to it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. It's Sadar's Radar. Dar. Okay. There we go. Okay. Here, I noticed this. You know how they'll take candy bars, you know, full size candy bar, and then they'll make it smaller and they'll call it a fun size. Like
right.
they'll take a negative and turn it, they'll spin it into a positive. Okay. So this is a fun size. Well, here's what my problem is. I'm afraid that, you know, we're getting these nowadays. You know, there's a toilet paper roll, right? I'm afraid what they're going to start doing is this. And they're going to call it, this is the fun size of toilet paper. Okay. It's
That's
not just,
good.
And this is what they should do. I mean, a fun size candy bar would be twice as big. This should be the new toilet paper roll right here. Okay, so this gives you an excuse to sign up for the YouTube channel and see what this is all about.
It's come to this. This is the golden age of entertainment.
That's pretty good, Albin.
Top of the class.
I can't believe it. Top of the class, Ma. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we got a few things we need to mention. I got a package yesterday, okay? And I'm not talking about drugs. No, actually, it is a drug. Honor Bound coffee.
Me
I didn't
too.
Know what it was. I really didn't know what it was. It comes in and it, you know, I open it up and I was like, ah, Honor Bound coffee. Cause we had to drink Starbucks too. We got the Honor Bound coffee because we hadn't been ordering enough. Oh my gosh. This morning it was glorious. And of course I have a very special Honor Bound mug.
No, but it's funny, Eric, I got the same thing. Our packages got delivered yesterday, a couple more packages of Honor Bound coffee, and we're back to Honor Bound again, not that other stuff. In fact, I wrote a new slogan for them, coffee from the top of the pot instead of the bottom of the barrel.
Now, Chris, am I alone in wondering whether that's funny?
Well, I just, you know, I was a marketing major. I don't know if it's funny is the word, but will it move product? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Albin, if it'll move product. I'll tell you what, though. Coffee is a powerful laxative, so we will move. You know,
right.
Actually, I'm not gonna. I'm not going to stoop to your level, Alvin. Okay.
What?
Body humor? No, I refuse. I refuse. Okay. We should mention, if you're watching, if you're wanting something fun to watch, I wanted to remind folks again that Dennis Prager made a movie with Adam Carolla, a documentary about free speech or the clamping down upon free speech in America. It is called No Safe Spaces. I recommend it very highly. If you're looking for a documentary that's entertaining and important, it is No Safe Spaces, nosafespaces.com. Check it out. What else do we have to talk about? Tomorrow we're doing Ask Metaxas.
Yes.
I'm nervous because I got to come up with some answers. And also we're going to have on John Zmirak.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm not nervous because Zmirak is gold. Gold, Jerry, I tell you, gold. And let's see, we have at the end of this week, we're going to do an encore, but we're going to be doing these bunker videos every day because we realize that we're a lifeline, I tell you. I don't know how many people, but, look, it's radio, but just the fact that we're forced to film it on our cameras, we're putting it out there on YouTube. I don't know how many people are watching these on the YouTube channel, but I just want to say, if you're listening to this on the radio, imagine how this whole experience could be enhanced or potentially destroyed by your seeing our faces and our expressions and where we live. It's kind of sad, except somebody did compliment the color of paint in the room where I'm doing these videos. But
by the way, yeah, listen, I got to tell you this. My wife was watching a bunker video. I am not kidding. And she said, like, you know what? We've got to repaint that living room and we got to move that furniture. She started complaining about what it looked like behind me. And she was like, you know, now we're starting to talk about paint colors for the bunker walls.
Alvin, you kill me. You kill me. Okay, we're out of time. We're going to be right back with the Alliance Defending Freedom. Very, very important. Don't forget, please, folks, go to metaxastalk.com and give to Food for the Poor. We really need your help. God bless you. We'll be right back.
At the door, somebody ringing a bell, someone's knocking at the door.
Hey there, folks. Welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. As you know, we like to check in when we can with one of our favorite organizations, the Alliance Defending Freedom. We call them ADF because we're very close with them. We have representing ADF today, Jeremy Tedesco. He is senior counsel with ADF. Jeremy, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Eric. It's a delight to be on.
Well, I'm sorry that we're all in our bunkers, but, you know, it just keeps it more real, more gritty. My question to you, first of all, is where are you? Or did you say you're in Virginia?
Yes. Okay. I'm at my house in Northern Virginia.
We're all in our various places. So give us an update. We just did an interview very recently about the Southern Poverty Law Center, so-called. With Tyler O'Neill. Anybody who's interested should go to our YouTube page, The Eric Metaxas Show, and they can watch my full interview with him on this subject. The title of his new book is Making Hate Pay, an incredible expose. But what is your perspective coming from the Alliance Defending Freedom on the Southern Poverty Law Center, and what do you want to talk about today?
Well, our perspective is we are one of the many religious and conservative mainstream groups that the Southern Poverty Law Center puts on their hate group list.
What, Nick, you've got to be kidding. I had no idea you were going to go there. Are you you're serious? They call ADF
yes.
A hate group.
Yeah, we have 10 wins at the Supreme Court in the last 9 years, 56 over the last 25 years. We defend everybody's religious freedom and free speech rights, but they don't like what we believe and promote when it comes to issues of marriage and human sexuality. And so this is how the Southern Poverty Law Center operates. They take mainstream conservative religious groups, and they put him on a hate group list with deplorable groups like the KKK and white supremacists, all for the express purpose of shutting those groups down, stopping their ability to even speak or operate. And, you know, this is the way they operate. And the reason why, you know, I just actually put out an op-ed yesterday on this. The Southern Poverty Law Center is so blinded by their desire to sow discord and, you know, promote their ideas about what, you know, what hate is and destroy groups that who they disagree with, that they dropped their yearly hate and extremism report right in the middle of the COVID-19 crisis. You know, the world is really putting aside partisanship and unifying against this threat. We see people from both sides of the aisle saying, you know, we're working together. We're putting aside our differences because there's a national threat. And in that setting, you see how the Southern Poverty Law Center operates. They don't apparently care about that. They drop their, you know, division and discord sowing report right in the middle of a time when everybody's trying to just unify around this issue.
Well, look, let's be honest, Jeremy. They have nothing else to sell. They are in the business of sowing division. It's not just something they do on the side. They weren't always this way. They've become this way. And when we were talking, I guess it's about 3 weeks ago, to Tyler O'Neill, like I do hope people will go to our YouTube channel, The Eric Metaxas Show, and watch my interview with him, because what they have been doing is so horrifying, but it's the more horrifying because very few people know. Many people think of them as a basically decent group that maybe leans left wing. That's not the case anymore. They have become vicious cultural Marxists, and they despise the very people most Americans and the Supreme Court would agree with. So it's a bizarre, bizarre turn of events. Where can we find your article that you wrote? Because we're going to put it up on Twitter and on Facebook. Is it at The Hill?
Yeah, it's at The Hill. It's an opinion piece at The Hill. Yes. You know, and the thing about Southern Poverty Law Center is that they really sow these seeds broadly. So I think I want your listeners to understand more than anything is that this hate group report that they put out, it's not just this reputational thing that gets repeated in the media. SPLC and their allies have an entire system set up to put ongoing pressure on corporations to blacklist groups that they consider bad actors. And so they ask corporations to stop funding, deny banking services, and deny credit card processing. They're asking social media companies and tech companies to deny essential services to groups that are on their blacklist. So it's really an existential threat to conservative and religious groups. Their view of what qualifies as hate is really the whole ecosystem of people on the right in our country on any
it's not even
number.
People on the right. I mean, they may as well come out specifically against Jesus and save themselves a lot of time because he's the ultimate hater according to their values. This is not even when we label ourselves conservative. I mean, I say that I'm conservative, but my goodness, some people, there are many, many, many people across the United States of America who would never label themselves conservative, but who nonetheless hold precisely the same values as we do on most things. They just think of it as common sense. They just think of it as a biblical worldview. And so you have the Alliance Defending Freedom really being one of these groups that's ultimately representing America and American values, not some narrow conservative values. And I think that we have to be careful sometimes of allowing ourselves to be marginalized that way. I know what ADF does. I know what you guys do. And it is not narrow. It basically represents the most fundamental views that the founders held about the Constitution. I want to continue the conversation with you. So folks, don't go away. We're talking to Jeremy Tedesco of ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Don't go away. Folks, welcome back to to the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking with Jeremy Tedesco, who's with the Alliance Defending Freedom. We're huge fans of the Alliance Defending Freedom. They're doing what is needed in America at this time. Right now, we're talking about their battles with the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has become a really despicable anti-American organization. But the worst thing is that they shake down people to agree with them and to support them. So it would be wrong for me not to ask you. I hate to ask for money all the time, but if anybody feels moved by this or is interested in the work of the Alliance Defending Freedom, you should go to yourfreedomfund.org, yourfreedomfund.org, not just to give money, but just to find out what they're doing, because it is absolutely vital that we know about these groups, know who the good guys are and the bad guys are. So it's yourfreedomfund.org. There's a phone number that I will give you a little bit later on in the program, but yourfreedomfund.org. Jeremy, I'm just so taken aback by some of the things you've said. I remember that Jesse Jackson and others would do this. They were race baiters, and they would shake down corporations because they knew that these huge corporations had a lot of money and they'd be willing to pay off folks like Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson to keep them from being labeled as racist. And it was a big shakedown, and they made tons of money by shaking down these corporations. You're telling me that that's exactly what the Southern Poverty Law Center does. That's how they get their money. They don't just get their money from people who hate what they hate. They go to people that they can shake down. Corporations that just say, well, we don't want to get in the middle of this. We don't want to get labeled as hateful. So we're just going to give money to this genuinely hateful organization. The irony is thick.
It is. It's not just Southern Poverty Law Center. They have a whole allied network that does these pressure campaigns for corporations. Some of them have already folded. I mean, Amazon uses the Southern Poverty Law Center list as a gatekeeper for the Amazon Smile Charitable Program. That allows all Amazon customers to give a small percentage of their purchases to the charity they love. But Amazon steps in between the customer and the charities. There's like a million charities in their program. And says, no, you can't give if your favorite charity is listed on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate group list. So that means you can't give to Alliance Defending Freedom, Family Research Council, many other good and decent religious conservative groups. Just last year, they were demanding that MasterCard, through shareholder activism, they're putting pressure on MasterCard to put in place what they call a human rights commission within the actual business that would monitor whether they were processing donations to hate groups. And so that's another pressure campaign that the left is running to try to get these corporations to do exactly what Amazon did, overlay this hate group list as a part of their business practices and start to deny funding or services. This is a huge threat to conservatism.
Can you imagine? It's a huge threat to America. Let's just be honest. This is they're at war with America and with the founders' view of America. They want to remake America so dramatically that it is no longer America. Can you imagine if the Southern Poverty Law Center put their efforts into dealing with our actual enemies this way, into dealing with China this way, into dealing with the terrorists who want to blow up our buildings and kill our people? Can you imagine if they would do that? They're doing precisely the opposite of that. And that's, again, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on. I want to remind people to go to yourfreedomfund.org to find out more. We need to understand what's happening in our country, folks. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's good news when we know it and when we can stand against it and when we can understand that the folks at ADF are working hard against it. I'm just amazed, Jeremy, again, at the level of what we're facing.
Yeah, well, I want to give your listeners something to do, too. So with Amazon in particular, the National Center for Public Policy Research is a shareholder activism outfit organization that works on behalf of conservative and religious values. They have filed a shareholder resolution with Amazon this year that's main aim is to get them to stop partnering with Southern Poverty Law Center. And so pretty much all of America is a customer of Amazon.
Right.
Amazon really alienates all of us who believe the things we do when they start using the Southern Poverty Law Center's anti-religious hate group list to make decisions about how they're going to run their different programs, Amazon Smile in particular. So people can get on the phone right now and call Amazon, call Amazon Investor Relations. If you're an investor, if you're just a customer, email them and tell them to knock it off and to stop their partnership with SPLC. I mean, just last year, SPLC had to fire their founder, and their president was fired amidst a major scandal where their employees were saying, look, we are a business, an organization that has a systemic problem with racism and sexism. So the very organization that's going out around the country and pointing their finger at people for doing things that they say are wrong in these areas actually have an enormous scandal within their own organization on these issues. And to your point about why don't they do something to benefit the communities in which they live, they've got $500 million of donor unused donor dollars saved in both domestic and international overseas accounts. They should use some of that money right now to ease people's burdens when it comes to the COVID-19 crisis. I mean, they have a way to join the rest of us as we try to fight against this pandemic. And instead, they drop their hate report right in the middle of this time of unity and sow more division.
Well, these things always remind me of the story of Solomon and the baby in the Old Testament. If you want to know who the real mother is, who really cares, you're dealing with somebody here that is saying, go ahead, cut the baby in half. We don't care. We want it all to burn down because if we can't have our way, well, we don't want anyone to have their way. I want to remind people to go to yourfreedomfund.org. It is shocking what we're talking about, but the Alliance Defending Freedom, you guys have been so heroic in this. And I think you want to talk about a badge of honor, the idea that the Southern Poverty Law Center would list ADF. I mean, it's stunning to me when I know the great work you guys have done, absolutely great, heroic, extraordinary work. The fact that they would put you on that list, it's almost funny on some level. It's just so absurd because I know I'm aware of the work that ADF does. I'm aware of a number of the folks at ADF. I've spoken at ADF organization banquets, and I simply cannot believe that that they would do that. So I want to remind people that they need to know to go to yourfreedomfund.org. We'll be right back talking to Jeremy Tedesco with the Alliance Defending Freedom. Don't go away. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Flows and flows of angel hair, ice cream castles in the air, and feathered canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds.
Hey, folks, welcome back. Final segment with our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom, talking to Jeremy Tedesco. Jeremy, tell us again, because I'm just stunned about the Amazon Smile program, how the Southern Poverty Law Center is horrifyingly got their tentacles into that. Amazon at this point is all over the world, and they are trying to spread their hate by claiming to be against hate. What can we do specifically to deal with that? Because that's a major issue.
Yeah, what we need to do is put a campaign together to pressure Amazon to respect everybody's points of view. I mean, it's incredibly disrespectful and problematic division sowing for Amazon to partner with SPLC, who does, you know, modus operandi is to sow division and dissent, especially at a time like this. And so we've got this shareholder resolution that's pending before Amazon. It'll be voted on by shareholders of Amazon at the end of May or early June this year when Amazon has their annual shareholder meeting. And between now and then, we've got an opportunity to put pressure on Amazon as customers, as shareholders, as people who care about this issue, care about religious freedom, and tell them they need to stop their partnership with this anti-faith, anti-religious organization. Who puts mainstream religious organizations on this list?
I know you said this earlier, but I don't want my audience to miss this. Tell us very clearly what's the best way to do that. Do we just go to yourfreedomfund.org? Is there a link there with information?
Yeah, you can actually, I think the best thing to do is to go to Amazon's website and just send an email to Amazon. We will have soon launched a website that people can use as a hub for this activity. But you can do it right now by picking up the phone, calling customer support. I've actually called customer support at Amazon and asked them, why can't I choose Alliance Defending Freedom as my charity? And they run out the chain and I never get an answer. They need to answer that question.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but when people make these phone calls or send these emails, please do it with civility. You can be bold, you can be passionate, but do it with civility, please, because this is too important to let your emotions get the better of you. Contacting Amazon any way you can is important. And, you know, when they say, when you say to them, you know, I want to give to the Alliance Defending Freedom, for example, and I can on the Amazon Smile program, put it on them. Don't rant at them. Just, you know, the more calls they get asking why they can't do this, you know, I think it's important. There's a phone number. Forgive me again, Jeremy. The phone number is 800-556-2770. 800-556-2770. This is a real problem. Just about a minute left, Jeremy. Tell us, what is ADF working on these days besides this?
Well, all of our cases are still ongoing. We've got legislative battles. We're waiting for a decision from the Supreme Court. I think the most important thing is we're waiting for a decision from the Supreme Court on whether Title VII is going to be continue to just be understood to be a provision that protects against sex discrimination, male and female, or whether the law is going to be changed by the courts to include gender identity as a protection. Of course, that has enormous, enormous downwind, downstream cultural ramifications, especially for women when it comes to, you know, fairness in sports and in you know, males having access to private facilities for women, and so many other downstream problems culturally if gender identity is imported into Title VII. And so that's an enormous case. We expect a ruling within the next few weeks in that case. We continue to have several other cases pending at the Supreme Court. Baronel Stutzman, our florist from Washington, who was forced by the state of Washington to create floral arrangements for same-sex wedding ceremonies, and so many other issues going on at the Supreme Court and throughout the courts. COVID is going on, but the work of defending religious freedom and free speech, it continues. And so we're continuing to do that work while also trying very hard to make sure that our church alliances and the folks that we work with from the ministerial, you know, church standpoint have everything they need to serve the needs of the community right now.
Forgive me, I'm afraid we're out of time. Folks, please go to yourfreedomfund.org. Jeremy, God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.